Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thanks for that. My guest today is someone I have the privilege of speaking to one-on-one, counselor to counselor, but also as two Christians deeply committed to building better families, no matter what form that may take. You're going to be inspired by her testimony as you journey through life to navigate, grow, and love your own family as God intends for you. My guest today is Dr. Laurel Shaler. My friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. Well, first and foremost, I'm really looking forward to the conversation. I have some fun questions up front because before we clicked record, we were just talking. It's the dog days of summer. I know you're a mama bear yourself. You have a lot going on. You're still teaching at Liberty University throughout the summer semester. So talk to me a little bit. What are some fun things that you are doing just as a mom, but also to engage your family during these months? Pizza night, anything like that that you guys do for fun?
Yeah, well, we have lots of fun things going on. It's definitely always busy all the time with three little ones. Just the other day, we went to an arcade and played video games and collected our tickets and picked out some prizes. So we're trying to do some things like that, some indoor things. Of course, the older kids like to go to the swimming pool with their dad. And so, yeah, we're trying to stay cool any way we can here in South Carolina.
That's right. I know. Greenville, South Carolina. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. I tell you what, we got to continue to do things and invest in our families. And I know that's what a lot of our conversation is going to be about, just being able to invest in those that invest in those that they love. You mentioned Liberty University. I got to give a quick shout out. I think that is the best university in the world, and I know you do as well. I've heard you share just extensively about how much Liberty has meant to you, and I know you have been such a blessing, and you have meant so much to the university as well. So we're so grateful for you, the work that you do. What I want to talk about today is really the heart of our conversation as we begin, which we're going to talk about how we can better assist and walk alongside of those, maybe that really have the blessing of adoption within their homes. And Dr. Laurel, just up front, I think the reason why you are so passionate about this topic is because it's so personal to you. So I would love for you just to begin by sharing you and your husband's adoption story and help us understand the framework of our conversation today.
We waited for many, many years for the Lord to bring us children through adoption. I felt that calling from the time I was a teenager. Thankfully, I didn't even have to force my husband into it. He came on board. But we were married a long time before, we were married for 9 years before the Lord called us to adopt. And when he did that, it still took about 5 years before we brought a child to our home through adoption. And it's really an incredible story, the way that the Lord uses his people to bring about his will. And one Wednesday night at my little church that I grew up in, my former Sunday school teacher, my childhood Sunday school teacher came to me and she said, I know somebody who is looking for an adoptive family for a child in their care. And as they say, the rest is history, but to fill in a little bit of the gaps, within a few days, we had met this precious little baby girl and we began helping to care for her. We were already approved through our state Department of Social Services to foster and adopt. And so they allowed us to play an active role in this little girl's life. And eventually we obtained custody of her and went on and adopted her. And so that was our first of three adoptions.
Wow. Dr. Laurel, just to dive into your most recent book. You co-authored a book with Dr. Gary Chapman, who we've had on this show several times, and he's talked about the five love languages, but this new book, Loving Adopted Children Well. And I want to ask, what's really the heart behind this specific book at large? Obviously, it's personal experience, and I know that's probably something that you're bringing a lot of passion to as you wrote this book, as I've read it now, but really just helping our audience understand why now, and what's the heart behind that you want every kind of reader to walk away with upon the completion of its pages?
Yeah, that's such an excellent question. It's a big question, right? Because there's having so many thoughts and feelings. But ultimately, after we adopted our first child and the Lord brought about another child, just as long as it took the first one, it was so brief to get the second child. It was 1 month. We got a call from our adoption attorney and he said, you know, I've just had this young lady leave my office and she is looking for an adoptive family. And he said, and you know what? I don't even know if she told me if it's a boy or girl. Are you interested in adopting this child? And I just said, yes. And he said, well, do you want to ask your husband? I said, well, he'll say yes. And thankfully he did say yes. And a month later, we were in the pediatric intensive care unit with a little boy where we spent 2 weeks with him in the hospital before we brought him home. And after we'd settled into this life of having these two kiddos, I started to realize that there's so many wonderful resources for parenting, but not as many that really talk to the heart of how you connect with these children who come from hard places. And even though our children were babies when they came into our home, they still had prenatal trauma. And so being able to explore how do I best help them and how can I possibly through this journey, help others in the process. And I met Dr. Chapman's editor at a conference, an AACC World Conference, and we connected at the Moody booth. And I said, you know, I love the five love languages. And I love the book that Dr. Chapman co-authored with Ross Campbell about loving children. But I'm wondering, what do you think about doing something a little bit different, but related to adoptive families specifically? And so he talked with Dr. Chapman and we met and he was on board with, yeah, this makes sense. So we were able to move forward with this project of being able to really talk to the heart of how can you love these children using all the five love languages, loving them the way that you would love children that come to your home biologically. And how can you recognize the similarities and the differences and not just discount the things that they've experienced, even if they were young when they came into your home.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Shaler, as you mentioned, you have a passion for this from a very young age. You felt called by the Lord into just adoption and into really nurturing and caretaking for these children who are coming from different homes, maybe broken homes, maybe parents that just aren't able or don't see themselves fit to parent them throughout their lives. And so I would love for you just to share a little bit more about that passion, but also speak to, as you've become an adopted parent, I would love for you to share some of the lessons that you've learned, because I think there's a lot of counselors who maybe don't come from a home that involved adoption whatsoever. And so they don't really understand maybe the misconceptions around it, but also they don't understand maybe some of the challenges or maybe the nuances around it as well. And I think maybe educating us a little bit about that will help us then to be able to continue to further this conversation toward how do we truly help? How do we step into the life of a family that maybe is going through a challenge that we know nothing about?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we've had to recognize is that you can't necessarily parent the way that you were parented. So my husband, I mentioned that he is a veteran, his father is a veteran, and there was this expectation that you do what you're told and you do it right away. And so he did. And we kind of went into this parenting thing thinking, oh, that's the way it will be. And you quickly find that that's not always the way it is. And it's not always about defiance. Sometimes it's about other circumstances that you're not recognizing until you start to take that time to think about the way that trauma may have impacted those children. So our older child in particular has experienced a lot of loss because she did know some biological family members that she kept in touch with, and they've passed away. So looking at the way that early trauma, that early loss and grief has impacted her, so that, you know, if she might happen to seem what maybe another family might think, oh, why is she getting so upset about this or that? But there's more to it. So recognizing that it's not the same as parenting a biological child, even though we can love them the same in terms of the feelings that we have towards them, that we can feel very loving, we can feel very fulfilled in our role as their mom or dad, but we have to recognize that they bring with them some challenges. It doesn't mean that we can't overcome those things. It doesn't mean that being adopted has to be their label. They don't have to be defined by that, but it it does mean that we need to recognize that there are some nuances there that need attention.
And as you mentioned, I think one of the greatest ways in doing that is being able to understand what is their primary love language. Because something that Dr. Gary Chapman has so eloquently said throughout his entire career is you can love someone with everything you've got, right? And think that you're doing and giving everything in the right direction, but if you're missing, you're not communicating that primary love language effectively, then in a sense, it could be falling on deaf ears. And so, Dr. Shaler, I'd love for you just to give our audience just a touch up on the five love languages, but then also, how do those five specific love languages actually begin to infiltrate into adoptive children as you love them more meaningfully and as really as you love them God's way?
Yeah, definitely. And you're so right. So often we try to communicate love in the way that we best receive love rather than in the way the other person best receives it. So one of the first ones that comes to my mind of the five is physical touch. We think, okay, the moment you get a child, that child's placed in your arm. My third baby came to us through embryo adoption, so I did have the experience of carrying the baby, giving birth to the baby, and having that newborn put in my arms. And we're so accustomed to loving that child physically, and we should. Every child needs that love. But children have different comfort levels. And if you have a child come into your home, especially if they're not a newborn or a very young child, they may feel uncomfortable with all of the physical touch. You have to be sensitive to that. In fact, just the other day, I met for the first time a child that a friend of mine is adopting. And one of the reminders that that friend gives to people is, please don't touch this child without that child's permission. And I love that because it's a recognition that that child comes from a hard place and may not want that physical touch. That doesn't mean that child doesn't need physical touch, but it needs to be safe and that child needs to feel safe. It's not enough for you to know that your touch is safe. Your child needs to feel that they're safe. So being able to touch them in ways that feel more comfortable to them. I talked with one adoptive mom who said her adoptive kiddo loved to have her feet rubbed. So even though she didn't like to touch feet, she made the sacrifice and she would give her kiddo foot rubs because that child didn't want hugs or back rubs or kisses or hands held, but she would let her feet be rubbed. So learning from your child how they feel safe to be touched is a critical component of loving an adopted child well physically.
When we're talking about those five love languages, I want to ask you this because obviously we all have our primary love language. What is your primary love language, Dr. Laurel?
I would say acts of service or quality time. You know, Dr. Chapman talks about that first and second kind of like sometimes they're super close. So I really value both of those things. But if somebody is invested in me and they're spending time with me and they're giving me all their attention and I don't have to say, hey, can you put your phone down or can you turn the radio down? Can you really, like if they just are in tune with me, then I really feel loved. And again, maybe kind of right under that or right above it would be acts of service. Like if I don't have to ask you to do the dishes, you just do the dishes. And I'm like, okay, they really care. They get it.
I would agree. Acts of service is definitely my primary love language. Well, at the same time, I love words of affirmation. So I love like when my wife even just leaves me a note or sends me a sweet text or something like that means the world to me because I love using my words as well. Oftentimes, as you've mentioned, a lot of the primary love language that we love to offer is typically the ones that we love to receive as well. I would love for you to share though, when it comes to your children, your three children, what maybe their primary love languages are and how you came to understand that. Because like you said, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of nurturing. It takes a lot of watering that grass where it is exactly right there. And just being able to invest in the relationship to allow the child to help you understand maybe which love language is their primary one, which one will really actually mean a little bit more to them specifically. And then I would love also to ask, you know, as you have done all of this research, as you've looked at your own children, are there any specific, you know, primary love languages that you would say, man, this one means just a little bit more? Maybe it is quality time. It's just showing up for that person. It's just giving them the safety or that space in adoptive families. Anything that you've seen as common themes or threads?
Yeah. So with my oldest child, who is now 8, one day a few years ago, I was going over the love languages with her. And as soon as she heard one, she shouted, "That's mine." And it's words of affirmation. And so that was one way. You know, all children need to be shown love in all five of these ways, But in time, if you're paying attention, you can start to recognize which one seems to fill their bucket the most, which one just causes them to glow. And when you give that child a compliment, a sincere, genuine compliment about who she is, not just what she does and how well she performs, but about who she is, she just beams with pride and she gets this giant toothy smile on her face. And then you know you've really hit a home run and she truly feels loved. With my 5-year-old kiddo, I really would say at this point, and I recognize that it possibly could change, but it's quality time. Like, he wants your attention. He wants you to come and sit down and play cards with him, or he wants you to go in the backyard and kick a ball with him. He wants to know that you are all in for him, and he wants your solo attention. And I do write in the book about the importance of spending individual time with every child. There's a program called Positive Parenting Solutions. They call it Mind, Body, Soul Time. We've come up with our own names. So with my daughter, I have Bestie Time, and with my son, I have, actually my husband, he calls it Shaler and Son Time. But we also have our own time together, and he has his own time with my daughter. With the baby, she's only 18 months, so she's still too young for us to know like what her primary will be, but we definitely do, all of them.
Yeah. Dr. Shaler, to the people out there who maybe are a part of a blended family or adoption is a part of their lives, it's a part of their family, but they're going through a season of discouragement. They feel like they're trying to offer, all of this love to their children. They're trying to stay unified as parents, but it just feels like it's not landing right now properly. It feels like they're missing the mark. What would you share just as words of hope and encouragement to them in the midst of this conversation that would just help them continue to push toward that end, continue not to give up, and continue to love their children with everything they got through the power of showing up?
Yeah, and the first thing I would want to do is to normalize the experience. Like, all parenting is hard, but when you throw in an added layer of any kind of stress, it makes it harder. Like, your stress bucket gets pretty full. And when you're parenting a kiddo from a hard place, you're more likely to have your stress bucket full. And we are not going to do it perfectly every time. I love what you just said about just showing up. Like, we are going to fall off that horse, and we have to just get right back on and say, okay, I messed up. I mean, I did it this morning and I had to offer an apology to one of my children. And then it's like, okay, we're going to get back on track. I'm going to go back to who I know I am. I'm going to go back to who, and I only know who I am because I am who God says I am. So I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go back to everything that I've learned. I know that for me as a professional, sometimes I feel guilty for getting it wrong because I'm like, I should know better. I do know better. I teach this. I talk about this, but I'm also human. And to all of those other adoptive parents, you're human too, and you're going to mess up. So find the support, find your community. Don't try and just force yourself to get through this alone. You need people, and you need people who understand. There's some amazing books, there's podcasts, there's support groups. Get plugged in so that you're not doing this solo.
Yeah. Dr. Shaler, as we're kind of wrapping up maybe the latter pieces of our conversation together today, I'm thinking about counselors and coaches and pastors and clinicians and physicians and others that are on the other side of the camera. And, we're wondering, how can we most effectively walk alongside of adopted families to love adopted children? Well, a lot of times we get the chances to sit across from kids who come from adopted families. We get the chance of sitting across from families that come from adopted homes. And we get an opportunity to model these things, to love them exactly where they're at, and to be, in a sense, that earned attachment figure sometimes, where it's like just one or two extra people in a child's life can be so instrumental. I think of the power of an athletic coach. Obviously, I think of the power of a counselor and more. People that get the chance to, in a sense, speak up and step up in a moment of need for someone. Speak to us just a little bit more about why you think this book, this resource, Loving Adopted Children Well, can be such a gift and a valuable resource to us within our own counseling sessions and our own clinical practice, but also how we might begin to see the 5 love languages differently and how we might begin to implement them a little bit differently when working with families or children of adoption.
Right. So the first thing I would say is that the book provides some great information about adoption. You learn some stats and facts and figures, but you also learn about the impact of trauma on a child who has been, you know, into foster care or into an adoptive home. And just recognizing, again, that that even prenatal trauma has an impact on them. And not making assumptions about a child or a family. So often, in my experience, adoptive parents struggle to admit that it's hard, and they don't want to be judged by other people. They don't want to have people say negative remarks. I have a good friend who adopted children solo, and when times were hard, she had people say to her, well, this is what you wanted. You chose to do this. And instead of offering that support, they turned a blind eye. And it's like, even though we stepped into this calling, that doesn't mean that we intended to do it alone. Like, we know we need other people. And so I think that this book is valuable because it talks about all of those challenges, but it doesn't leave people stuck there. It also gives people hope. It gives people practical tips and tools and ideas for how to help their children, but also for those professionals, how they can best help their clients work with those families.
Dr. Shaler, again, you are a gift to countless people. Where can our audience go, our members go, just to maybe better acquaint themselves to you, maybe more effectively connect with you? Do you have a website? But also, where can we go to purchase just one of your newest books, Loving Adopted Children Well?
Yeah, so that's on Amazon, and you can purchase it wherever you like to buy your books. But it's certainly there on Amazon, and my website is drlaurelshaler.com. And I'm also mostly on Facebook. I hang out there most of the time, social media wise, and that's Dr. Laurel Shaler as well.
Dr. Laurel Shaler, my friend, thank you so much just for your time, your willingness to join us again. Thank you for your obedience and saying yes to the work that God has called you to. You are a gift, not just to the Liberty students, but the countless counselors and others that you continually train on this very topic. We love and appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a powerful and grace-filled conversation that was with Dr. Laurel Shaler. If you're a counselor, a coach, a pastor, or simply someone walking alongside an adoptive family, I hope today's episode encouraged you, I hope it challenged you, and I hope it gave you practical tools for the journey ahead. Remember this, adoption isn't just a legal act, it's a daily invitation to speak love, to build trust, and to model the heart of our Heavenly Father who adopted us into His family through Christ.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.